Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Okay, hi.
Okay, we did this.
We did this, and Ryan...
My mic was off.
Trolled.
For like 20 minutes.
Yeah, did not have his mic on for the first 3 minutes of recording. So,
Hi again.
Here we go.
We're doing a special reader mail episode of Babe, because Laura's in Oklahoma, and we can't record when we're separated, because our magic doesn't quite work when we're apart.
It's IRL or nothing.
Or nothing.
So... We're doing a reader mail episode. We get like tons and tons of emails. We have like almost 500, and we only get to a very small percentage of those on the pod. So we figured, what better way to utilize our time? We don't want to just ghost you for a week with no episode.
Mm-hmm.
We need to give you the lols you deserve, but this is what we're going to do. So it's just reader mail today.
Okay.
But it'll be chill.
I love it. All right.
So let's start with the first one. And the subject line is, where have all the law boys gone?
Right. And on the episode that you'll never hear because my mic wasn't on, I was saying the correct pronunciation of lawler, like how you spell it out. This person spells it out like LOL caps, which is not, like, you would read it like, where have all the LOL boys gone, which doesn't quite work. It's, where have all the law boys gone? And then you need, dear Laura and Ryan, long time reader, first time writer. I've actually been a follower of Ryan since the early days of Thought Catalog. I felt compelled to call in after the freckle episode when Laura mentioned how at her best she's a lawler through and through, and at her worst withdrawn and resentful. This echoes my own personal journey that I've been struggling with for the last year or two. All my life, I've been an extremely social beacon of love and light, and have always been able to pull a lol out of thin air. I've never had a problem with anxiety or depression, and even though I've had the occasional funk here or there, I've without fail managed to pull myself out of it with some self-love and personal time. This bout, however, has been going on for so long, and none of my usual tricks seem to be working. In most social settings lately, I show up and I'm withdrawn, visibly uncomfortable, and usually make no sense when I actually do pipe up. Then I go home and beat myself up and how I can't get myself together, which leads to more anxiety / depression. I finally decided to contact my doctor about seeking mental health help, which I'm both excited about and nervous. I listened to this podcast with my boyfriend, and it's truly been a godsend in this dark time, especially hearing about Malara's mental health journey. It gives me hope that I will one day be able to sit at the lol table. Do either of you have any routines that help pull you out of a dark place? Any additional tips would be greatly appreciated. Love and light, fallen lawler. So we've talked about this a lot in the last episode.
Yeah.
But I really relate to this. Like, truly, truly, truly. Because I, even though in my 20s I was like weirdly addicted to drugs and kind of miserable, I like wasn't really aware of it. And I like was pretty stable, I guess. But I think looking back at it now, I think I was just like repressed and not dealing with any of my stuff.
Yeah.
And this last year, I had my anxiety episode that happened in July and lasted for 3 months, and I had anxiety. What?
This anxiety episode, like, the amount of time that it lasts is ever changing.
No, it's always been 3 months.
On the last episode, you said it was 2 months.
No, I said three months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It makes me, I get very triggered when you question my anxiety episode, because it makes me feel like people don't take it seriously, and I was extremely depressed. Like,
no, I know.
Extremely, extremely depressed. So you have to honor that and not think of it as like a drama thing, because it's like very upsetting to me.
Okay. I take it seriously, but I swear to God, you said 2 months the last time.
No, it said three.
Okay.
Yeah. Because my birthday was like, it happened on the 4th of July, which is when I had the whole anxiety attack.
Mm-hmm.
And my birthday was September 2nd, 2 months later. And I wasn't over it until the end of September.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I moved from New York to LA, I had an anxiety attack, and it triggered an anxiety episode that lasted for a month. And by anxiety episode, I mean that it literally feels like my brain just runs at a different frequency. It feels like something just like went to my brain and turned the switch on, and I just become like weirdly like just depressed, anxious, crazy, like whatever. And it's, I don't eat, like I have a hard time sleeping. It's very weird. The point is that I never dealt with this stuff before. I feel like my moods were always pretty stable.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last year or two, I've just really been going through it in a way that I never have before. And it's been really scary because I'm just like, I don't understand. Like usually if I was sad, there was a concrete reason and it was always circumstantial. But like lately I've just kind of been getting into blue periods for no real reason. And then I always get out of it. And what I will say is that I really relate to the beating yourself up about it, because mm-hmm. when I don't feel good, I feel so mad. I'm so mad at myself for not feeling good for no reason that I just beat myself up and it makes me feel even worse. So therapy has helped tremendously. Being kinder to myself has been like so helpful. No negative self-talk, just letting myself feel the feelings and not judge myself for having them in the first place. I actually really like hearing from this person, because a lot of it for me that's been hard is that since I didn't grow up dealing with anxiety or depression, and in the last year or two, things have been kind of hard for me for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, it's actually been really weird, because everyone I know that struggles with anxiety, depression, it's been kind of an evergreen thing in their life. Like they've experienced it from like a young age or whatever. So to be experiencing it for the first time at 30 or 31 is like really interesting to me. And I don't really know anyone that's like gone through that. To just really go from feeling one way to feeling another for no real reason. So, I have to say, reading this email actually makes me feel better, because I know that I'm not alone.
No.
And that, you know, you can be a happy-go-lucky person and then kind of go through these spells.
Yeah. You're definitely not alone. And, like, I mean, I still have that too, like, to a lesser degree now that I'm, like, medicated. But I still go through periods where it's, like, one day I'll wake up and things just won't be right. Like, it doesn't feel... like things just don't feel right. And I think that a lot of it is like, for me, has been examining, it has a lot to do with any sort of personal patterns that I choose to engage in. And then it's also like, you kind of have to just make a choice to keep going through the motions until you get better. Because my instinct, I think, when I start to feel like any sort of depression or like blues coming on, is like, I get really scared, first of all, because yeah. I'm like, I don't want to go back to some place where the place where I was like a year ago. Like, that's like my worst fear.
Right.
But also I then get, but then it's also like I have depression. So then I don't want to engage in my like day-to-day activities. Right. So it's like, I'll stop working out or start eating unhealthy, and then that makes me feel worse. And then it's like, it starts like a cycle of like a downward spiral that if I let it go for long enough, I would eventually get back to that place.
Right.
And it almost, I think you have to view it not as like a death sentence.
I know.
You can't let it get,
well, he has to go to therapy.
You can't let it become bigger than yourself.
Yeah, but he has to go to therapy, helps a lot. Therapy helps me be checked in. Like, I went to therapy last week and I was like, I've been feeling really blue lately and I don't know why. And then I told him all the stuff that's going on with my family, and he was like, I think you know why.
Yeah. Like,
but there might be I don't know.
You'll get to the bottom of why, right? But like, you just can't let it get bigger than yourself and yeah. get to be, but also, it's not, you can handle anything that happens to you, and you have resources and options available to you. And the best thing you can do is like continue doing your routine.
But also, I really relate to his idea of like being like, I used to be this way and now I'm this way, because I get so fixed on identity.
Yeah.
And like who I am as a person. And when something happens to me that's I perceive as being out of character, it really shocks my foundation. And I'm mm-hmm. just like, wait, I'm not who I thought I was. Oh my God, do I even know myself? Ah. And I feel like that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, listen, like you are still a beacon of love and light, and like you're still a dollar. And
yeah.
You're just going through a hard time. And like one does not discredit the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think it's like, as you get older, you get more sensitive to that kind of stuff.
And you also are dealing with stuff.
You're going to have to deal with a lot of shit in your life. And life is not one just big law.
No.
It's just not like that. Well, and there are going to be waves of periods that are like harder than others, or periods where your lulls aren't as like easily accessed, but that's life.
Well, I've said this before, probably on this podcast, where it's like, I feel like I spent my 20s like having experiences on emotional credit, and now in my 30s I have to like pay it off. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's sort of real. I feel like in my 20s I actually was going through a lot of stuff, but I was not dealing with any of it, and I feel like now I am, and so that brings its own challenges. But to this person, I would say I really relate to your journey. Go to therapy. Routines help. Working out always helps me.
Working out always helps me.
It really does.
And any sort of like, I mean, I,
but also like not getting like, this is really hard to like say, like, but like when I'm feeling down, all I'm thinking about is how I'm feeling down. So I'll wake up and I'll
you
be like,
fixate and indulge yourself and on that. And you tell yourself this false narrative that like, this is crazy. Who you are now.
Yeah.
And I like think wake up and
I'm
like, why,
how am I feeling? I'm feeling bad. Oh, fuck.
But that's why, cause you just deal with it in a very, you deal with your like anxiety in a very, very different way than I deal with my like depression and anxiety. Yeah. Like I withdraw and like, and it's just, and I like stop participating in activities that I know can help me, but you like fixated on it and like become like convinced that it's who you are. Yeah. And like, it's, I guess for me, that's why it sometimes is easy for me to like think about it as you being dramatic rather than like you dealing with it. Cause I'm like, I know who you are. Like, I know that that's not you and that it's just like a hard period, but you get really stuck in a loop and
I can't
like,
get out of it.
I can see really easily that it's like, it's fine if you just stop paying attention to it. It'll
go
away.
That's easier said than done.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's going to be okay, babe.
Get help.
Dear Lara and Ryan, love you both so much. Avid reader of Babe and listener of Sup. I wanted to write and tell you about a real babe situation I've gotten myself into. It all started 5 years ago when I had my first real boyfriend. We dated for about a year and then it all went south when he cheated on me. A few months after we broke up, I started sleeping with his roommate and best friend. I had some unresolved things I was trying to deal with. We hooked up for about 6 months. This is all still unknown to my cheating ex. And eventually he moved to Nashville to be a musician full time. Both of us ended up dating other people, but 2 years ago, I realized how special this dude was to me. And we ended up briefly trying to be together long distance, but it didn't work because he was fully unwilling to tell my ex about us. He started dating someone a year ago, but when he gets drunk or stoned, will call and text me sad messages, then never respond if I get back to him. Now we get to the real babe of the situation. Recently, I decided to go back to school and pursue my own dream of becoming a midwife. One of the best midwifery schools in the country just happens to be in Nashville. I'm moving to Nashville to start school this fall, and the only person I know is this guy. Anyway, I can't really change anything right now, but I thought you would enjoy hearing about my babe moment. I just keep telling myself that we all do babe things, and I'll get to a babe place soon enough. Love and light. Oops. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's chic that you're going to be a midwife. The world needs more of you.
Yeah.
And don't fuck with this guy.
Oops, I babed again.
Yeah. I mean, I hate that he initiates conversation. Like, he still clearly has some sort of like attachment to you.
Right.
He wouldn't be initiating a conversation, but really what he's looking for is validation. Yes, and then power. When you respond, he gets his like gas tank is full. Yes. So he feels like he can then disrespect you. Yeah. And I don't like that.
Yeah. You need to make him run out of gas.
And if he really liked you and wanted to be with you, he would. And he'd tell your ex and it would be NBD.
Yeah.
But I think
it's not that complicated.
I know. And it's easy to make things more complicated and like try and figure out what the whole bottom line is. But the bottom line is he's dating someone else and he's kind of a dick.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a great time in Nashville.
I want to go.
Yeah.
Have you been?
No.
I've always wanted to go.
I've always wanted to go too.
Oh my. Oh, okay. Fuck. I never got to talk about Southern Charm. Oh, well.
That's fine. Ryan wanted to talk about Southern Charm on last week's episode, but I'm like, I don't watch that. So when we do that, you just have a one-sided conversation.
Which I'm okay with.
I know you're obviously. Okay with it.
Okay.
Read this fucking email.
Hey, Lara and Ryan and guests, question mark. Nope, just us today, honey.
Just us.
I wanted to write to you guys in the past about my own not yet had sex self, but I always thought it wouldn't be interesting, and I guess I still don't think of it is, but I want to validate the reader from the last ep. I'm also in my late 20s and I've never had sex. I have grown to truly loathe the word virgin because of its implications of naivete, innocence, and ignorance. I'm a smart, funny, worldly woman who just happens to not have experienced the physical act of sex. But to a lot of people, being a virgin is a whole different animal, especially as I become older. My hands are shaking writing this because I get so frustrated over the whole fucked up system of horror if you do, prude if you don't, because I feel like I'll never get out of it. I grew up thinking that I'd never had sex before marriage, but like with a lot of things, hello, smoking weed for the first time a few weeks ago, babe, lol. My views on that have changed drastically over the years. My body wants that D, but my brain is worried about STDs, opening myself up to rejection, and a slew of other normal growing up experiences that I just haven't been through yet. I'm hesitant to even date because I'm worried that this will freak a guy out. I know I don't have to tell a guy that I haven't had sex yet, but I also think that if I'm letting a dick inside of me, I should be able to tell him that and have him be an adult about it. I don't know. Anyway, I want to thank Ryan for being so open about how damaging it is to not have sex for a long time. Now I'm getting teary and how it really fucks you up and babes you out mentally. I also want to thank Laura for being real about how terrifying men are. They are. I want the validation from them and I also want them to stay far away forever. Ha ha ha. Oh, wait, no, sorry. She says hiss. I don't feel like I have to wait for my Prince Charming, but I also don't want to just fuck a Marlon Rando. I just want a kind dude, but I see all my friends navigating dating, putting themselves out there, and straight guys just suck so bad time and time again. Do kind guys exist who wouldn't fetishize or demonize a woman who hasn't had sex yet? TBD. Well, that's it. I just want to validate the other not having sex yet, LA babe. P.S. Feel free to never read this on air, but if you do, please keep me in on. P.S. Lars, my mom wanted to name me Laura, but my dad didn't want to because he didn't want to be mistaken for a Laura. So they named me blank.
Okay, so yes, guys are terrifying and straight men are the worst, but
there are some good ones.
There are some good ones, and they're all actually pretty simple. Like, at the end of the day, men want to fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
But that's what she doesn't want.
No, I know.
Where she kind of does want
it. No, she does want it. But, like, once you know that, then that's all you need to know.
Right.
Like, a man will do anything to try and fuck you. Yes. And they truly, I don't think, care about pretty much anything.
I don't... Okay, so ask me this, because I've never been a straight guy, and I guess you haven't either. But to me, why would a guy give a shit if you were a virgin or not? Why would he care?
He won't. He doesn't.
He doesn't care.
I'm sure are some like douchebag guys out there that would be like, what the fuck? Like, no way.
Right.
But like, you don't want to fuck that guy anyway or date that guy. So right. That just is like immediately eliminates a breed of men that you don't.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You don't want to deal with any guy. Like, I would be excited to take someone's virginity. Like, I would be like way into that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
If I was with a guy and he's like, I never had sex before.
I'd be like, honey, get ready. Yeah. Because then you get to be
get ready for the most mediocre sex you've had.
I'm like, great. That would be sexy. It's like not fun for me, but it would be fun for him. And that would be fun for me.
Yeah. No, totally.
But like, also, you're not going to get laid or start dating someone if you don't put yourself out in the world. Like, I can tell you that's what I'm talking about.
And I said it to the other girl. And I was like, honey, like, it becomes something that is way bigger than yourself. And that's when you enter a danger zone.
Yeah. You have to be willing.
Don't give it all that power.
Yeah. Don't give it all that power. And honestly, like, rejection happens. And that's just like, that's a fact of dating.
Yeah.
And I think like when I was in my early 20s and in college and high school and stuff, I really didn't process as much rejection because I think I was more into just like putting myself out there. And so it was like, whatever, like rejection didn't slow me down.
Would you get rejected?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, totally.
When?
Well, when I was like 19 or something, I like really liked this guy who was in Oklahoma City and we had like hung out and like made out a few times. And then he was like in an on and off relationship with this girl that he dated like from high school. And then he went back on with her and then like ghosted me. And then I like totally babed out one night after I had like had a bunch of drinks and called him 18 times in a row and then left him a voicemail that was like, you're disrespectful. But in my 20s, I was more willing to just be crazy about everything, you know? And then I was just like, whatever, fuck him. And then like a month later, I was dating some guy and like in love with him. So it's like, it just, is part of the journey. Everyone gets rejected to some extent.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. Did James Kennedy sing that song?
No, he should though.
I know, it seems like a James Kennedy song.
So just put yourself out there, and you also don't have to come out the gates with being like, by the way, I'm a virgin on like a first date. Like,
Yeah, exactly. Honey, it's fine.
You don't owe anyone an explanation of anything that you feel uncomfortable about. It's sort of
like
when
with CP, how I was growing up with CP, I made it into this huge thing that it wasn't. Like, no one truly cared.
Like, the best thing you can do is go on dates with guys, be flirty, and really get to know them. Ask them a lot of questions and find out what their character is.
And have them eat you out. Am I right, ladies? Woo! No.
Find out who they are as a person. Because you know, like, if you use your intuition and you don't just go for, like, if you come from a place of, like, confidence in yourself and like love for yourself, then you can easily suss out like what a guy's deal is, and you'll know whether or not he's the kind of guy that's going to be like a weird dick about your virginity or if he's like a chill lawler sweetie pie.
I agree,
but you just got to put yourself out there.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on.
Come on.
One.
Oh, here's a good one. Hi, babes. I'm about to turn 30 and I'm currently detaching myself from a very tumultuous relationship. Think Jackson Brittany, I'm the Brittany. Aww. I was with this person for 9 years and he fully funded my life. Now that I'm braving on my own for the first time, I'm finding myself to be one broke babe. Lara, a few episodes back, you mentioned that you had to become scrappy due to your lack of funds. Can you give me any tips and tricks on how to be scrappy while broke? How can I live a La Mer lifestyle on a Nivea budget? Love and light. P.S. I also recall a few episodes back where a fellow straight female reader revealed she had a romantic dream about Lara. Well, I too have had a very similar dream. I won't go into details, but basically in the dream, I was very sexually attracted to Lara, but she became disinterested in me quickly. Should we meet IRL?
JK? Well, you're in luck because Lara is a bisexual.
I thought we weren't shading each other for certain things.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. I just love to keep the troll alive.
You love this troll.
Well, this is obviously not a question for me, so I'll just see myself out.
Yeah, I'll go make Ryan, how does budgeting work?
I'll go put some caviar on some toast and eat it in the background.
Okay, so what did I do when I was at my scrappiest? I walked everywhere.
You never left your apartment.
I did not leave my apartment. I battened down the hatches so I could make enough money to pay my rent and my very basic bills and have a teeny little bit left over to feed myself. And I don't have a car right now.
I took you to dinner. Having a rich friend helps.
Having a rich friend helps. So yeah. Maybe some of your friends will take you to dinner. That's been a godsend for me. But I have a grocery delivery service that I use that I like mistakenly signed up for at the beginning of the year. But then I was like, well, actually, this is like a fine expense because it costs money to sign up for it. But then I was like, oh, I need this because like I can't like walk to go get groceries. Like I have so much work to do. I just can't take that time out of my day. And I don't want to like Uber to go get groceries either because that's just expensive.
Also, like walking with tons of groceries doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So I signed up for Instacart, like with, I guess, some like leftover holiday money that I had. And then that actually turned out to be a really good thing for me because I would eat all my meals at home. And then instead of going to the grocery store and being like, yum, I want this, I want that. And then walking out with like a huge bill, I would be very calculated, do the minimum order to get free delivery, which was $35. And then I got to the point where I could eat food for a week from $35. But wow. I also went to the cheapest. I would like order food from like Smart and Final. And it would be like on the moments where I was the most broke, like sometimes I'd be eating like peanut butter sandwiches and
those
like
were good.
Yeah. But there are cheap meals you can make and
pasta.
You can make like a big dinner. I would make a lot of soups and then that would feed me for like a couple days. Chili is always a good option, like a veggie chili. It's just about minimizing.
To me, it just seems like you just can't be as social as you want to be.
You can't be as social. So it's good to like have a hobby. And for me, it was good that I worked at home and like my life is my hobby essentially. So it's like I still saw people a lot because I have people come over to do podcasts and I live next door to Ryan, but I just went dark for a few months. Like,
yeah.
And that's what had to be done.
You're emerging now.
I'm emerging now, but really like slowly emerging, because my instinct as soon as I have money in my bank account is to go immediately into live, laugh, spend zone. But I'm trying to learn from my past mistakes. I've been good, but it's like I constantly have to be checking in with myself.
Right.
And keeping myself grounded, so to speak. But I would say you just gotta not leave your apartment. I didn't drink either for a long time. Like, I refused to spend any money on alcohol. Right. So I did not have drinks when I was out. And like, I would not drink in my apartment. And normally I feel like I would usually like have a bottle of wine laying around, or like get a couple bottles of wine when I do my grocery shop. But I cut that out. And then I just like smoked weed and I watched a lot of TV. Mm-hmm. So if you want recommendations for TV shows, let me know, because I watched a lot of prestige TV and read books, and that was it. I don't know how I did that, but I just did it. And what else did I do to be scrappy? I Airbnb'd.
Oh, you Airbnb'd your apartment.
Oof, that was hard, a troll. Though. Yeah. If you have the ability, I mean, like, thankfully I had friends who would let me stay at their guest room, but that was like a huge scrappy thing for me that made up a lot of my income in 2017. Yeah, it's mostly that kind of thing.
You wouldn't lose the apartment.
I did it so I wouldn't lose my apartment, because I knew I didn't want to move, and like,
because that's expensive.
That's expensive, and also it's like anywhere that I would find would probably be more expensive than the apartment I have now because of LA prices. So like, I was just like, I need to stay here. But
you holding on to this apartment was impressive. During your, like, you made no money. Like, that was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
That took real ingenuity and skill.
And I'm a big fan of taking to the internet and finding out like what I can get from places. So like, back in the day, like, I've been in like a cycle of like going totally broke and bouncing back for years, which is a cycle that I'm really trying to break, and why it's important for me to not go.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right. To live, laugh, spend. It's more like live, laugh, save now. But like, even when I was doing White Girl Problems, I used to like, it was right when Uber started. So like, I would tweet out my Uber link.
Oh,
and
I
got like, I got,
you got
hundreds
so
of dollars of credits in Uber. And I rode Uber for free for like a year and a half off of tweeting
That's
out
crazy.
Those links. And then once when I was so broke, it was right when Uber Eats started, and I could use my Uber credits for
That's
Uber
true.
Eats. So I fed myself.
There's
like
some,
I would have
there's some joke in there, the fact that like you were so broke, yet you had created this like this huge platform that like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in that you
it's just, ironic.
So ironic.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
A platform that was like a privileged, spoiled white girl.
Right. And you were using it to like literally eat
because
you were so poor. You couldn't. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's wild.
No, it was a very, it was like a cosmic joke.
It was a cosmic joke.
But
it was definitely not a white girl problem.
It was not a white girl problem. It was just like a broke girl problem. But yeah, so I've just been good about figuring out how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you just got to get like, I also made budgets, and I started to line item every single expense. And so write out and know exactly how much money all my rent and bills cost each month. And then like go through every other expense and just be like totally aware of the money that's coming in versus the money that's going out, and like really seeing what my spending patterns are. Because then you know, like, oh, like I realized, oh, I spend so much money on like food and like Postmates or like eating out. That has to go. And then I would make a list of all the things like that I would not spend money on. Like, it was like manicures, pedicures are a no. Any sort of dining out is a no. Maybe allow myself one Uber Eats or Postmates a month,
one
or two.
What's the biggest splurge that you've done since you've gotten a little bit of money?
Signing up with a
Swipe
gym.
Garage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been great.
Yeah.
But it's like, you just have to, and you have to be willing to cut certain things out of your life. Like, I got to a point where I couldn't pay for class pass. I couldn't pay for exercise classes. And I was like, they got to go. Like, my rent and bills are more important than
right.
this, which sucks. But like, and I could, if I wanted to, like, go take to the street and run, but I don't. So I didn't. But also, you can watch a lot of YouTube video. Like, there's all sorts of stuff online for working out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hope that helped. I feel like maybe it didn't.
No, it did. I think you went into lots of detail. Hi, y'all. I need some help, and you've given me some chic advice in the past. My Tinder grinder scruff profiles need some help. I'm not copying any bodies of my current bio or meeting quality people. Below is a text from a few of my profiles. I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet, but don't fuck with me. Looking for the Ronnie to my Sammy sweetheart. Pink heart with star emoji. Dancing man emoji. Mermaid emoji. Alien emoji. Okay. I think it's funny, but I'm not sure if it's universally funny or if people will get the Jersey Shore reference. I need to know if this is a babe profile, and if it is, some suggestions on what to put. I will literally write anything you all suggest. I have nothing to lose at this point. Yeah, it's not the best.
No, I'm... Ryan's bone chilled.
I'm a little bone chilled.
I'm less bone chilled because I love like a joke in a bio.
But me too. But like,
a joke, that joke is not going to get you far.
Also, like, calling yourself the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet. And
that's a Jersey Shore reference.
No, I know that. But like, no one wants to think of you as like a sweet bitch. Like, first of all, I think when someone says I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet, I still think baseline, you're a bitch.
Or you're a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, full on. And also, Sammy sweetheart was a nightmare.
But babe, that's like ironic. Like,
I know,
he's being a lawler about it.
Right. But like,
but it doesn't translate.
It doesn't translate. See, if I'm confused, I imagine other people are.
So you're swiping left on this bio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
So I think like self-deprecating is great, but I don't know. You take this. You're gay.
Just be like, I love to loll, looking for fellow lollers. XO.
What if no one understands that?
You're right. People don't even know what lol like lollers mean.
Yeah, that my Bumble bio is really unclear. Right now it's like six foot
I almost
zero.
Would just write saying like, insert something here that will make me seem desirable, yet approachable, yet relatable, / that will make you want to date me and fall in love. That's it.
Yeah, that's good.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
You need something in the bio because I swipe left on guys that don't have any bio. Literally, like, I need something. Yeah.
Calling out the stress of making the perfect bio is kind of funny. Insert here for the magical words that make you, think that I'm approachable yet relatable.
And great.
Funny. But not too, like, humble, but like successful, but humble.
Yeah.
Like literally impossible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Makes you think I work out 7 days a week. Climb mountains, stay hydrated, but like doesn't brag about it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Are you in love with me? And then put that and then be like, go scroll down and be like, are you in love with me yet?
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Solved.
There you go. Dear Lara and Ryan, I adore you both. Ryan, I love hearing you talk when you get excited about things. That literally makes me lol as I'm driving to work. Lara, you can do no wrong in my eyes. I'm obsessed with Sup and how babe as well. If you ever stop podcasting, I'll shrivel up and die. Happy almost birthday? ? Okay, so I was listening to the recent episode where you and Ryan were talking about ghost stories, but I was at my mom's house alone, so I didn't want to freak myself out then, but by thinking about it, but here it goes. I grew up in New Jersey, and a part of New Jersey where there are farms everywhere and it's boring as fuck. It's literally called Plainsboro. Around 17 to 18, my friends and I would often drive to this one empty parking lot and hang out for hours, smoking cigarettes, eating crap from 7-Eleven. Oftentimes, we would go to this nearby cemetery to play manhunt and smoke weed. What is manhunt?
Anyways, I don't know.
These things were almost nightly occurrences. However, one day, we decided to go drive through a children's cemetery a little ways away. Ooh. Fucked up, I know. A bunch of us drove through the cemetery.
Children have their own cemetery?
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
A bunch of us drove through the cemetery in two or possibly even three different cars. Got out of the cars for a minute, probably smoked a cigarette, and drove off. I was in the car with two of my best guy friends. One was driving, the other one was in the passenger seat, and I was in the back alone. We were talking, listening to music, and my friend in the passenger seat suddenly looked spooked and kept telling me to shut the hell up. He kept telling me there was something in the car, and it was right next to me. I thought it was just messing with me until I felt two icy cold hands slap me in the back and knock the literal fucking wind out of me.
What?
For a solid 45 to 60, I'm getting actual full chills.
Oh my God.
For a solid 45 to 60 seconds, I was gasping for air and couldn't breathe. I was shivering like crazy, even though we were inside the heated car. I had a proper winter jacket on and we had left the cemetery miles back. Needless to say, I've never done something stupid or disrespectful ever again. I'm literally like, I'm like goosebumps.
I'm freaked the fuck out.
Well, ghosts are fucking real.
Yeah, ghosts are real.
Welcome to reality.
And yeah, that's what you get for hanging out in cemeteries and smoking cigarettes and throwing them in there.
When I was younger, I loved ghosts and I was all about like tempting the fates, but now I'm just like, no. Like,
well, no, I'm respectful of ghosts and I expect the same respect in return.
Yeah, I don't know if it works that way.
It does. It's a give and take respect journey.
Yeah, you're right.
I am definitely right.
You should write a new book. How to communicate with ghosts.
Well, yeah. You don't fuck with them.
You don't fuck with them.
You don't go through cemetery. I mean, I grew up, literally, my mom's house that she's moving out of, the backyard ends, and then there's a cemetery.
No.
So I grew up, yeah. I grew up living with a cemetery weird. Just beyond my backyard for my entire life.
That's weird.
It never freaked me out. It never felt
Would
bad.
Would you hang out there?
No, I'm not going to go hang out in a cemetery. I learned to drive in the cemetery because it was like a chill place to just take a car when you're young. Like my mom took me when I was 13 and like taught me how to drive.
No traffic.
But it was not a hangout place for me ever.
Wow.
And nor would I want it to be. I'm never one to like go and try and piss off a dead person or piss off a spirit.
No.
Like, I don't want that in my life.
I don't need that drama.
No, I definitely don't need that drama. No. Wow, that's fucking crazy, though. I want more ghost stories. So, readers, yes, I want more.
It scares me.
Write us your ghost stories. We'll read them. Shut up. Shut up. Please. Please.
Too much for me.
Please.
Who's this? Oh.
Please. That's what my dad does when he gets really irritated. He'll just go, please. Please, please, and just repeat please over and over until you like stop saying or doing whatever you do.
Please, please.
You got that from me.
Please.
You got that from Butch.
No, I got it from myself, my brain. What a wonderful place to live.
Oh my God. Dearest Lara and Ryan, longtime listener, first time caller, forever Lawler. Mega babe, Rita Ora just put out a new summer anthem with Cardi B, Charlie XCX, and Bebe Rexha called Girls. I saw Rita getting dragged for it on Twitter over some problematic lyrics about a lady loving a la Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. I mean, the chorus is literally, sometimes I just want to kiss girls, 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 red wine. Sometimes I just want to kiss girls, girls, girls over and over. Cardi's rap is a little more troublesome with lipstick lesbian scissoring references. Interested to hear the babe's take on this, but really I just want to point out that the song opens with a reference to a Lara. Not sure if you had a fling with Rita Ora, if this is just a sign for you to embrace your bisexual journey, but I'm here for either one. Thanks for making this wonderful podcast and sup. Keep up the great work, asshole talk and all.
I don't know any of these people except for Cardi B and obviously Rita Ora, but I've heard about this, but I chose not to engage.
Wait, this song?
I don't engage with a lot of malarkey.
Wait, but this song starts
off. Have you
off,
heard it?
I listened to it and it says, her name is Lara. And then,
no.
Yes, it has Lara in the song.
Her name is Laura?
No, it says Lara, L-A-R-A.
Who is Bebe Rexha? It sounds like anorexia.
I think that's the point.
Oh.
I don't know who Bebe Rexha is.
We came here for the friends.
Is that the song?
I was like, ew, what
is that
this?
The song? Okay.
No.
I love this. It's a bop.
Listen.
How did Rita Ora get Cardi B to be on the song? No.
Do it like we do it like we wanna. We just know. We just know. I am excited. What? I'm open-minded. I'm 50-50 and I'm never gonna hide it.
This is your bisexual, honey.
My bisexual anthem.
Justice for Lara's bisexuality.
This song is all over the map.
I miss Pink. Where's Pink? Why is she not in the song? It's all about Pink. No, I don't like the song.
I love just a random red wine.
Red
like,
wine.
You couldn't think of anything else to say, so you just say,
red wine.
Red wine, I just want to kiss girls. That's her name is Lara. That's amazing.
I don't like this.
But do you like that it says Lara in it?
No.
Because I do. No. But I also don't want Lara to become like
Of course
such
your
a
name
thing.
Is mentioned in a bisexual anthem meant to troll me.
A problematic bisexual anthem.
I love that.
I'm into it.
It's very on brand.
It's very on brand. I feel like I secreted that.
I'm sure you did.
Because of your trolls.
Having no
Please goal. Shut up. Oh. Ew, Ryan, fucking gross. Ryan just farted in my face. I think you probably hear it. I'm leaving that in. You deserve to be trolled for that. That is unreal.
I'm sorry.
That is disrespectful. He laid back. I'm leaning over to go. And then he just ripped ass. Ryan, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I think that that recorded.
I think it's going to be. I thought it was going to be silent. I don't want to talk about it. Let's
move on. I'm leaving that in.
No.
That was wild.
Wait, what is this? Can we just try?
Yeah, I'm reading it. No, I'm reading it.
No, I don't want to read it. Okay. Just, there's a really long one. But
there's a long one. We're going to end on this one, but it's a long final one. So buckle up.
Okay.
Hi. I'm a rather new listener to the show. I was introduced to Babe by Ryan's appearance on Homophilia, which I know is kind of old now, but I'm just getting through their back catalog. Anyways, y'all are total babes, and I'm living for your journeys. I normally don't feel compelled to reach out, but each of your journeys seem to have lots of little similarities to my own. I was inspired to write in after hearing about Gonorrhea Girl's experience with a sugar daddy, as I had a very similar experience recently. I signed up for the ancient website, Adam for Adam, on a whim. I uploaded a pretty generic shirtless pic and filled out my profile with the bare minimum of personal details. I told myself the intention of signing up was to find my long-term partner, and a third to have some fun with. But after looking at the guys in my area, I kind of knew the chances of that were slim. I think my profile had been live for like 2 hours, and then I got a message from a daddy who wanted me to contact him via the phone number he provided, and thus begins my sugar baby journey. We texted for a little bit, and sure enough, he wanted to be my sugar daddy, offering me an allowance and paid trips to visit him. I'm an opportunistic babe, so I figured I should ride this out and see what was really up. Within the first hour of our conversation, he started to ask me about where I banked. Red flag. I told him I used a local credit union, which isn't true, and he just moved the conversation along. He explained to me that he was a tech contractor working with Apple up in Canada at the moment, but lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. He then explained the deal with giving me an allowance, which involved me deleting my profile of A for A and him becoming my only daddy. I agreed, which led to him asking if I had a credit card of any kind, since I used a credit union, that he could pay off weekly, aka my allowance. I told him I had one card with a small balance on it, and he said he would log in and pay off my current balance if I did a favor for him, buying him a US iTunes gift card. I cautiously agreed, like Gonorrhea Girl, thinking I could get him to take care of the balance and I would ghost. And then I would ghost AF. Not sure how babe of a move this was, but what have I got to lose? Now, I fully realize the iTunes thing was either a money laundering scam or a way he could get money from me, pay off my card, then reverse the payments. So I logged into my credit card account and did something super babe. I removed all my personal details from their websites, including address, full name, bank account info, and changed my email address, which was all surprisingly easy. I changed my password to the account to something generic, and I handed over the login details to my new sugar daddy. Sure enough, he logged in, attached a real AF-looking bank account, and issued a payment for the full balance of the card, which was only 800-ish. Can you believe? This man was a total babe. But I had to hold up my end of the deal and get this tech daddy his iTunes cards, about $2,000 worth. Okay, $2,000. If anything's in debt, you $2,000.
For iTunes.
Yeah, give me a break. He was constantly urging me to head to the store to buy him his car. That's literally all he talked about. I played with him a bit and pretended to be busy. After 2 days, the payment fully posted to my account, and I decided I should probably change the login info for my credit card, and then I can safely ghost. I also decided, let's confront this man about these damn iTunes cards. I pressed and asked him what he needed them for, and he told me he was running some promo for a musician on Apple Music, and he needed the cards to give out credit to people so they could buy this person's music. I called bullshit, and daddy rage ensued. He questioned whether or not I trusted trusted him, if he was my only daddy, etc. I decided now would be a good time to ghost, and I blocked his number and deleted Google Voice, the app I was using him to text him, which has a separate phone number attached to it. So long, sugar tech daddy. Well, a few days later, the payment on my card was returned, my balance was back, and I was back to square one. Part two. I apologize for the lengthy sugar daddy.
No, I'm
no, it's good. We're exposing a scam, which is, don't let a sugar daddy pay off your credit card.
Oscillating from like sexual whatever to being like, can I have iTunes cards? Literally, yeah, I love that.
This iTunes sugar daddy,
it's like lick my hole / like give me
is a scam.
Yeah.
So just we're spreading awareness.
I love pivoting to.
Ryan talks a lot about finding his tribe, and on Extreme Babeovers, Lara talks a lot about the desire to find a group of women to befriend, which is something I've been really struggling with. I'm a gay male in my late 20s. I have a career-based job in a field not known for being filled with gays nor young people. My social circle is currently made up of friends I made in early college and my younger brother and his boyfriend.
Oh, gay brother. Chic.
All my college friends are spread out across the state I live in or in other states working on their post-grad degrees. They're all straight. Ew. I don't see my college friends on a regular basis, once a month at best.
Ooh.
I've never really had any gay friends, and now being out of college for a few years, even living back in the area I grew up, I feel like I don't have a strong friend group that's gay or otherwise. My life currently doesn't lend itself to going out and socializing a ton, which is admittedly a huge problem in this. I work 40 miles away from my home, and between commuting and waking up at 5 a.m., I don't feel like going and doing much of anything when I get home at 6:30 p.m. every night. Luckily, I'm moving much closer to work in the coming weeks, but I feel like that's only going to solve a part of this. I don't know how on earth to go about meeting people. Like, I've used the app Scruff mainly to try and meet people for something other than hooking up. Kind of a babe move, it feels like. In 2016, I met a guy off Scruff, like 2 years older than me, who was in an open relationship but had been living his hermit journey for the last 5 or so years. He fully didn't leave the house other than to go to work for 5 years.
No.
This should have been a huge red flag, but we got along super well and shared a ton of interests. We spent a lot of time together in a strictly platonic way, which included never being invited to his apartment. For months, it seemed like we were becoming good friends, not friends with benefits. Eventually, I ran into his boyfriend's boyfriend, who I knew through some of my college friends, and he made a comment about how funny it was that we were both dating the same couple. I was caught off guard and immediately confronted the guy I was becoming friends with and asked him for an explanation. He flat out lied to me and said he had no idea what his BF's BF was talking about. Within a week of this incident, he ghosted me. I was kind of shocked and confused. I tried to communicate what I was confused about to him, but he refused to talk to me in any capacity. Flash forward a year later, and I meet another guy on Scruff that was about my age that I seemed to have a decent platonic connection with. This guy was in a monogamous relationship, which was fine by me. He and I spent a bit of time hanging out and getting to know each other, but quickly I started to realize I was on a different journey than him, and being friends with him was going to be challenging in a way that didn't support my journey. I live in Colorado, and marijuana is everywhere. I'm fine with it. I indulge myself every once in a while, but this guy was like a full-blown junkie when it came to weed. I couldn't be around it all the time, and I felt like it was okay to back off from our friendship. So that leads me to today. I realize how futile it is to try and make friends using the gay apps. I also realize how difficult it can be to make friends, period. I know I need to get myself out there more than I currently do, which will hopefully change after I move closer to work, but where does one go to make friends? Bars really don't seem like the right place, gay or otherwise. Do I just join a group on meetups.com and force myself into some social situations and see what happens? My hobbies tend to lean towards solitary experiences. Shocking, I know. I feel like I've been removed from socializing in a way that's isolated me to the point that I've given myself some unnecessary anxiety about meeting new people when it's not work-related. Even work-related events give me some anxiety, partially because I don't think I can be open since the industry I work in is dominated by straight
old
men.
Oh, no.
I probably need to get back into therapy to help with some of this, too. I'd love to hear about Ryan's journey to finding his tribe, which possibly exists in some older episodes of the podcast. I'm working through your back catalog, I promise. Thank you for making Babe. It's really fantastic and makes me feel like I'm not the only person out in the world living my weird journey alone.
Aw.
Jay, a little baby gay in Colorado. Baby gay.
Oh.
Okay, baby gay. Little
this is real.
This is real. It's hard to
make friends. Past a certain age.
Yeah, a certain age it becomes
those circumstances, like if you don't have if you live in a small town or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I don't really have a huge group of gay friends. I mean, to me, our friend Kyle Buchanan introduced me to some people
Yeah, he was kind of your entree into
the
gay world of Los Angeles.
Totally. And I mean, I used to go to his gay poker nights, and I never became close to anyone really at those particularly. But through him, I kind of met other people and went to Akbar a lot. And so it kind of, it kind of just came from there. I feel like sometimes it only takes like one person to introduce you to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. You need a connector, definitely. But then you also just kind of need to force yourself out on the scene a little bit. Like,
yeah.
I would say even if you gave one night a week and you're like, okay, one night every week, I'm going to make myself go out and like be out and about. And
did
not
he say he had a boyfriend? I'm confused because he said he was like, when I
joined
the Sugar Daddy app, I was wondering if I would was looking for a third for me and my boyfriend to have fun with. Do you remember that? Did I read that wrong?
No, he said third. It was like one third of him was looking for that.
Oh, okay, okay.
Pay attention, damn
I'm sorry.
It. Ryan's lost.
I know. I mean, he must be cute enough to like post a shirtless pic.
He's very, I think, yeah, you just have to be, you have to commit to one night out a week and not like a night out where you just get wasted. Like a night out where you're like trying to talk to people and just like making friends and like maybe get, recruit some of your straights to go out with you.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, you can get, like, if you have girlfriends, they'll go to the gay bar with you.
Absolutely. I would feel no guilt about making them do that.
Yeah, definitely make them do that.
I mean, think about all the straight things you've been dragged to your entire life.
The straight things that I've been dragged to?
No, for him.
Yeah, true. And what else?
I don't know, man. I actually really don't know. I don't know.
Doesn't Bumble now have just like a friends Bumble? I think it does.
Yeah.
Where you can like meet people platonically.
Yeah.
Or business wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you there's like some closeted men where you work.
There always is.
There always is. So make friends with a closeted man, then threaten to out him if he doesn't become your best friend at work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Make a closeted, like, seemingly straight white man sweat.
I love a blackmail scenario into friendship.
Yeah.
That always ends well.
Yeah. Blackmail an older closeted gay that you work
also
with.
Also, move to like a more metropolitan area. I don't know if he lives in Denver or Boulder or something like that, but he should live in like a place where there's stuff to do.
Oof, Boulder. I'm like, good luck with your projects finding one gay person there.
Really?
It's the whitest, most heterosexual city I've ever been to. I hate it. Like, it's beautiful there, but I'm also like,
no,
this is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're really chock full of good advice today.
I know. We really like lost steam.
I know.
I'm feeling ashamed.
I know. Me too.
I'm feeling like I let people down.
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry.
You should be.
I'm sorry.
Once you start to lose it, then I start to lose it, then it's all downhill.
Well, my mom's here. She's waiting in my apartment.
All right. Well, we got to go,
my mom,
I guess,
can get on here and give advice.
We got to go. We asked her. You asked her.
She won't come on.
She won't do it.
She won't do it. She said no.
She said a firm no. I like it. Setting boundaries. That.
Me too.
Okay. Well.
Better late than never.
Hope you liked this reader mail episode.
It's fine. It's fine.
It'll
come together in the edit.
And yeah, if you have a burning question, you need some babe guidance, write us babepodcast@gmail.com.
We're here for you. We may not always have the best advice, but we're here for you.
But we care.
We do care.
And you can check out our website, pre-order some merch at babepodcast.com. Yes. And you can follow us on Instagram @babepodcast.
Yes.
And we'll see you next week for our regularly scheduled programming.
All right, guys. Smooch.
Love and light. Bye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer a 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.